Hello and welcome to the Shannon Roberts Podcast. I'm your hostess, Shannon Roberts. Today we will conclude the Beyond series. We are going to just jump right in, so grab your Beyond booklet, journal, or notebook, and definitely your Bible, and we are going to get started. The final area we will visit on this horizontal plane intersecting the central axis of loving God, operating in our calling, and taking care of the vessel the Holy Spirit lives within is our environment. As a result of the love exchange between God and ourselves through His Word, prayer, and Holy Spirit presence, any atmosphere we enter into should change. Our homes should be a place where love is cultivated and we go beyond simply keeping a tidy home. Our homes should be a resting place for our spouse, a nurturing place for our children, and a space where all who enter leave feeling filled and alive. Likewise, when we go to work or the store or any place, folks should sense something different about our very presence. In this episode, we are going to explore scripture that confirms the presence of God is with us and within us. We will also explore what happens as a result of the presence of God being within us. And finally, we will explore the kingdom of God needing to be built within us and in the spaces we have been placed and the Lord has strategically positioned us. In Exodus 13, verse 21, we read, "The Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and He provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night." We know now the Holy Spirit lives within us, and Holy Spirit is our lead and our guide. If we go back to the episode on Holy Spirit, we read scripture where Holy Spirit is within us, leading, guiding, and comforting us among a multitude of other things Holy Spirit does. We also read in Psalm 121, verse 8, "The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever." In the Passion Translation, "You will be guarded by God Himself. You will be safe when you leave your home, and safely you will return. He will protect you now, and He will protect you forevermore." God's presence goes before us and comes behind us, and God's presence through His Holy Spirit lives within us. When we walk into a space, atmospheres should change. Environments should shift. John 17, verse 23 reads, "I am in them, you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me." As individuals who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, as people who have been baptized with Holy Spirit, filled with Holy Spirit, the world should know God sent Jesus, and they should know that they are loved by God in the same way that God loved Jesus, according to John 17, verse 23. When we walk into a place, when we live our lives, when we're interacting and engaging with the communities we live in, people should know that God sent Jesus. We should be radiating and reflecting Jesus. The Passion Translation words John 17, 23 this way, "You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them." He's speaking of God. So God lived fully in Jesus, and now Jesus lives fully in us, so that they will experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you have sent me. For they will see that you love each of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. The Passion Translation words it that the world be convinced that God sent Jesus in the way we live because of our unity with Jesus. So we've established through scripture that God is with us, He goes before us, He is behind us, His presence lives within us, He is among us, and because God is with us, environments should shift and change. So what will happen? What will a change in atmosphere potentially look like? Well, we can look to the life of Christ. We learned in an earlier episode, we should be living in the same way that Jesus did. So when we look at Jesus and what His presence provoked when He walked the earth, we can then expect or hope the very same thing will happen as a result of Jesus living through our lives. First, the world should know that God sent Jesus in the way we live, in the way we carry ourselves, in the presence that we bring into the atmosphere or an environment, and folks should be convinced God sent Jesus and that God loves them in the same way he loved Jesus. We will also see repentance will be sought. In Acts chapter 16, verses 25 through 29, we read, "Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see a prison door wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew a sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, 'Stop! Don't kill yourself. We are all here.' The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household.'" The presence of God, the Holy Spirit of God through Paul and Silas and their worship to God in the prison cell, in the jail cell, caused a shaking and caused the atmosphere to be so influenced by their presence, by the presence of God within their lives, it caused one to move to repentance. The conviction that flowed from their lives by Holy Spirit brought conviction. What must we do to be saved? Our lives can do the very same thing. When we carry the presence of God, when we move into a space, others should be able to see Jesus so clearly that conviction is brought into their lives, and we trust that conviction to bring them to know Jesus even more. And trust it doesn't flip over to condemnation, where bitterness and resentment and anger would be cultivated. Deliverance in the lives of others may also take place. We read in John 1 verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." Now, this can seem very abstract. Okay, so the light shines and the darkness can never extinguish it. Well, in this context, the Holy Spirit was leading me to share that evil will literally be cast out. And we will look at scripture in this context. Acts chapter 19, verse 15. "But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, 'I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you?' So an evil spirit recognized Jesus, and he recognized Jesus in the life of Paul, but this individual he did not recognize. When we have and we carry the presence of God, when we carry Jesus within our lives through the power of his Holy Spirit, enemies should know we are there representing Jesus Christ. Jesus did just this when he carried and represented God on the earth because of his submission to the Lord's will, to doing what he saw the Lord doing, to speaking what he heard the Lord speaking. If we look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 through 29, "When Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake, in the region of the Gadarenes, two men who were possessed by demons met him. They came out of the tombs and were so violent that no one could go through that area. They began screaming at him," him being Jesus, "'Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?' These demon-possessed men acknowledged they could see Jesus was the Son of God, and he didn't even go there to address them necessarily. He simply arrived and they acknowledged and recognized he was the Son of God. Reading on to this account, we see that Jesus cast these demons out of these men and they met their fate. We also read in Luke chapter 4, verses 34 through 36, "'Go away! Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' But Jesus reprimanded him, 'Be quiet, come out of the man,' he ordered. At that, the demon threw the man to the floor as the crowd watched, and then it came out of him without hurting him further. Amazed, the people exclaimed, 'What authority and power this man's words possess! Even evil spirits obey him, and they flee at his command.'" Again, we see here Jesus carrying the very presence and essence of God. He was able to speak to them to quiet them and remove them and bring deliverance from the folks that had been tormented by such evil. Jesus's life within us should provoke repentance and reconciliation to the Lord, and also bring deliverance and push out darkness in our homes, push out darkness in our communities, push out darkness in any atmosphere that we walk into, causing darkness to be so uncomfortable due to the very presence of Jesus in our lives, they can't help but leave and flee. The presence of God within our lives should also bring healing. We know and explored in previous episodes, Jesus went about healing. He would go and teach and announce the kingdom of God and bring healing into the lives of others. We also see the same thing in the lives of the apostles. Acts 5, verse 15. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. So the apostles also went about healing the sick. Our presence, when we walk into a space, when we are immersed in Jesus and Jesus is immersed in us and the Holy Spirit has filled us with God's love, healing should be taking place in the lives of others. So the presence of God is with us, within us, among us, goes before us, is behind us. And as a result, we should see repentance being sought by those around us, reconciliation to the Lord through Jesus Christ. We should witness deliverance and darkness being pushed out by the light we carry into a space. Healing should be taking place by the very presence of Christ's life emanating and radiating from and through us. Now, what might this provoke? This might provoke persecution by the religious. If we go on to read the 17th verse in Acts chapter 5, we read, "The high priest and his officials, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy." They were filled to the point of jealousy that in verse 18 we read, "They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out." When we are carrying the presence of God, when we are radiating and reflecting Jesus Christ, the religious feathers will be ruffled. We see this in the lives of the apostles and the Sadducees seeking to arrest them and stop the move of God. But we also witness this in the life of Christ. This very thing happened in the life of Christ. When we read Mark 1:22, we see that the people were amazed at his teaching, for he, being Jesus, taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. Jesus's life, the way he lived, the way he radiated the very character of God, the way he taught the word of God, brought with it a real authority that unmatched and was unlike the teachers of the religious law, which were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We read in Luke 4:29 what this provoked. "Jumping up, they mobbed him and forced him to the edge of the hill on which the town was built." They, being the Pharisees and Sadducees, or those of the religious law, intended to push him over the cliff. Religion and jealousy always equal death. And this is where we might be persecuted. We might find ourselves in an atmosphere where persecution and finger pointing and doubt might come our way, because those who are not intimately connected to the Lord through relationship, but are actually operating in religion, grow jealous, grow envious that we apparently have something they do not have, regardless of their study, regardless of their aptitude, regardless of their scripture memorization. There is freedom and deliverance for even those who are religious. I know God's mercy and love is extended to even those operating in religion. Our prayer should be for the religious to be set free, for them to also experience a relationship with Jesus Christ. So the presence of God is with us, before us, within us. The presence of God should change atmospheres and cause people to seek repentance and reconciliation to God, should cause deliverance and freedom for those being held captive by darkness, should bring healing in the lives of others, just the way it did when Jesus walked the earth and the first apostles in the new church walked the earth. We might expect to experience persecution by religious mindsets, but our prayer should be carrying the very presence of Jesus Christ in our lives should shift atmospheres, and folks should see that God did send Jesus Christ because they see Christ in us. So if we kind of view this as God's presence coming in and cleaning up a space, the same way that Jesus did when he went into the temple and he turned the tables and he overturned the money changers, in the same way, Christ within us, he's bringing repentance, he's bringing deliverance, he's bringing healing, he's pointing the religious to relationship, and in this, cleaning up, sweeping out, getting things in order. What then needs to take place? The kingdom of God needs to be being built within us. We read in Matthew 12, verses 43 through 45, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest, but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and it finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. So I read this not to scare us, but I read this to extract this point in the scripture. It finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. When the Lord comes in and does a deep healing work in our lives, when he comes in and causes us to move to repentance and reconciliation with the Lord, when he comes in and delivers us from those things that have filled our souls that were not reflective of Jesus, when he comes in and he does a deep healing work in our lives and cleans things up and tidies things up, we're not just to remain empty, we are to be filled. What are we to be filled with? The kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 21, one day the Pharisees asked Jesus, "When will the kingdom of God come?" Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, 'Here it is,' or 'It's over there,' for the kingdom of God is already among you." The King James Version states, "The kingdom of God is within you." The word "within" here in the Strong's Concordance is within, inside of you, within you, in the midst of you, within you, your soul. The kingdom of God is to fill the space in our lives. The Lord cleans up, removes, delivers, and heals. His kingdom is to live within us and be built within us. And we know Romans 14:17 says, "The kingdom is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." The righteousness and peace and joy of Jesus Christ is to be built within our souls through Holy Spirit being poured out within us. And we were reminded when we were exploring the calling, one call on our lives is to pray according to Matthew 6 verses 9 through 13. "Our Father who art in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." We were exhorted in Matthew to first seek the kingdom of God, which we just read, the kingdom of God is within us, and the kingdom of God is peace, joy, righteousness, found in Holy Spirit, which is dwelling within us. And as a result of his kingdom living within us, atmospheres should change, environments should be shifted. Folks should know God sent Jesus Christ to the earth to pour out his love and to bring reconciliation between the lost and God. The Lord building his kingdom within us through his Holy Spirit causes us to be unshakable, unshakable, in our faith, unshakable in our walk. We read in Hebrews 12, verses 25 through 28 in the Passion Translation. Make very sure that you never refuse to listen to God when He speaks. For the God who spoke on earth from Sinai is the same God who now speaks from heaven. Those who heard Him speak His living word on earth found nowhere to hide. So what chance is there for us to escape if we turn our backs on God and refuse to hear His warnings as He speaks from heaven? The earth was rocked at the sound of His voice from the mountain, but now He has promised, "Once and for all, I will not only shake the systems of the world, but also the unseen powers in the heavenly realm." Now this phrase, "once and for all," clearly indicates the final removal of things that are shaking, that is, the old order. So only what is unshakable will remain. Since we are receiving our rights to an unshakable kingdom, we should be extremely thankful and offer God the purest worship that delights His heart as we lay down our lives in absolute surrender, filled with awe. Not only is Jesus Christ building His kingdom within our lives, within our souls, not only is He removing and pushing out those dark places by His light within us, but He is doing the same here on earth. In our obedience to God, when we hear God from heaven and we build according to what He is leading us to build, we are building an unshakable kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. When we seek to center our lives on God and love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, when we set out to understand the call God has on our lives and we begin to, by faith, walk in that path, walk towards that high calling. When we are nurturing the vessel God lives within by taking care of our bodies, nourishing it, resting it, moving it as He leads, we are building His kingdom. When we have His vision for our lives, when we receive His word for others, when we receive His word for our parents, our spouse, our siblings, our children, those we work with, those we minister with, those we engage with in our communities, and we are speaking what we hear our Father speak, when we are doing what we see our Father doing in the same way Jesus did, and we know we are called to live as Jesus lived, we are building God's kingdom on earth. As He first builds His kingdom within us, causing us to radiate Jesus Christ to those around us, causing Jesus to be made known, we build according to the spoken and written word of God. How amazing is this? God loved us so much that He sent His one and only Son to die for us. All we simply need to do is ask Christ into our lives to be our Savior and then be our Lord. Lordship means that we will submit and surrender and lay down our lives just as we read in Hebrews chapter 12. We will surrender our will. We will surrender our dreams. We will surrender our hopes, trading them in for something better, trading them in for His kingdom purpose and His kingdom dreams and His kingdom being built on earth. And that kingdom will not be shaken. The kingdom of our hopes, our dreams, our will, our ways, our intellect will be shaken and will fall away. It behooves us to place our confidence and hope in an unshakable kingdom, an unshakable life, by surrendering all to the Lord in exchange for something so much more glorious, something so much better, something so divine and beautiful and lovely and wonderful, something that truly radiates and comes from a place of love. Let's read Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 10. And then 19 through 22. God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, He united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by His wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ, the Exalted One, and we ascended with Him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Let's pause here for a moment. We have ascended with Christ, and we are co-seated with Christ in the heavenly realm. How amazing is this? We've been elevated from the earth past the powers and principalities that seek to rule this world and who are doing so, and into the heavenly realm with Jesus Christ, into glorious perfection and authority. How many of us are operating from this kingdom position, from this kingdom place that God himself has raised us to in Christ Jesus because we have believed in him as Lord and Savior? Verse 7, throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Jesus Christ. We will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches. When the Lord placed Beyond on my heart summers ago and showed me these various components of placing God at the center, knowing we have a high calling and taking care of our bodies that he lives within, and then loving others, he spoke to my heart, if we could balance and prioritize these components he was placing before me, we would radiate and reflect Jesus Christ. Seven components balanced and reflecting the face of Jesus Christ. And here we read in Ephesians 2, verse 7, we will be the visible display of Jesus Christ. We are to be the visible display of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, for it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Christ, the Anointed One, even before we were born. God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. We are his poetry, recreated to fulfill his destiny he has for each of us, to fulfill the good works he has for each of us. We only discover his destiny for our lives. We only discover his good works for our lives through intimate connection with the Father through Jesus and Holy Spirit revealing that call to us. First, loving God and then trusting he shares his vision for us, trusting he shares his destiny, his purpose, his works for us. Moving down to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. You are not foreigners or guests, but rather you are the children of the city of the holy ones, with all the rights as family members of the household of God. You are rising like the perfectly fitted stones of the temple, and your lives are being built up together upon the ideal foundation laid by the apostles and prophets. And best of all, you are connected to the head cornerstone of the building, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ himself. This entire building is under construction and is continually growing under his supervision until it rises up, completed as the holy temple of the Lord himself. This means that God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living within you. I get so excited in the Holy Spirit when I read this. He is causing us to rise up as perfectly fitted stones of the temple, the dwelling place of God. He is transforming us into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of Holy Spirit. We have an opportunity today to take all of these episodes and go before the Lord continually. Lord, increase my love for you. Father, increase my love for others. Jesus, I trust you have a destiny and a purpose for me that only I can live in and walk out. Please help me see this, Lord. By faith, I trust you will share your vision for my life with me and then equip me to live it out walk it out. Your spirit will lead and guide me. Father, help me to take care of this vessel that you live within. God, move me to press into being transformed into the Holy of Holies, Lord. So Jesus, you will radiate from my life. And in doing so, those around me will see and know God sent Jesus Christ into the earth. Those around me will experience the love of God in ways they've never experienced. My loved ones in my home, my loved ones in my community, my loved ones all around my region, state, nation, and world. Father, continue to move through me. Continue to refine me and shape me and mold me and transform me. Father, continue to convict and correct me and cause any ounce of darkness still within me to be pushed out by your light and then rebuild with stones of your kingdom, peace, joy, righteousness in your Holy Spirit. Father, thank you that you are transforming me and your mercy and love and grace is always ever extended to me. Father, I thank you that you love me. I pray that I would love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I would love others the way you have called me to love myself. We thank you and praise you, Lord, in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.